Lord of goodness, which is clear, sober status of understanding the personality of Godhead, and which is generally called Vasudeva, or consciousness, becomes manifest in the Mahatattva. The Vasudeva manifestation, or the status of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called pure goodness, or Shuddha-sattva. In the Shuddha-sattva status, there is no infringement of the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance. In the Vedic literature, there is mention of the Lord's expansion as the four personalities of Godhead, Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Here, in the reappearance of the Mahatattva, the four expansions of Godhead occur. He who is seated within as Supersoul expands first as Vasudeva. The Vasudeva stage is free from infringement by material desires and is the status in which one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the objective which is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Adbhuta. This is another feature of the Mahatattva. The Vasudeva expansion is also called Krishna consciousness, for it is free from all tinges of material passion and ignorance. The clear state of understanding helps one to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vasudeva status is also explained in Bhagavad Gita as Kshetra Gya, which refers to the knower of the field of activities as well as the super knower. The living being who has occupied a particular type of body knows that body. But the super knower, Vasudeva, knows not only a particular type of body, but also the field of activities in all the different varieties of bodies. In order to be situated in clear consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one must worship Vasudeva. Vasudeva is Krishna alone. When Krishna or Vishnu is alone, without the accompaniment of his internal energy, he is called Vasudeva. When he is accompanied by his internal energy, he is called Dwarkadish. To have clear consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one has to worship Vasudeva. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita that after many, many births one surrenders to Vasudeva. Such a great soul is very rare. In order to get released from the false ego, one has to worship Shankarshan. Shankarshan is also worshipped through Lord Shiva. The snakes which cover the body of Lord Shiva are representations of Shankarshan. And Lord Shiva is always absorbed in meditation upon Shankarshan. One who is actually a worshipper of Lord Shiva as a devotee of Shankarshan can be released from false material ego. If one wants to get free from mental disturbances, one has to worship Aniruddha. For this purpose, worship of the moon planet is also recommended in the Vedic literature. Similarly, to be fixed in one's intelligence, one has to worship Pradyumna, who is reached through the worship of Brahma. These matters are explained in Vedic literatures. We're reading of the process of the creation of material existence, as explained by Lord Kapiladeva, the great incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through Devahuti, his most fortunate mother. It is described herein that the mode of goodness is pure. The spiritual world is Shuddha-sattva, pure goodness. Where there is pure goodness, there is Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. However, in this material existence, pure goodness is adulterated, or as Srila Prabhupada has explained, it is subject to the infringement of the modes of passion and ignorance. Passion is that force which creates and makes things grow. Ignorance is that which causes things to diminish and die, or destruction. So if there is no passion and no ignorance, there is simply pure eternity. So Shuddha Sattva is that pure state of consciousness wherein there is the eternal understanding of spiritual reality. And it is also called Vasudeva consciousness. Understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is, who is situated within the heart of every living being. And that is the ultimate goal of life. It is explained so nicely in this purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, how within the Mahatattva, or the cosmic manifestation, the Lord appears in His four principal features of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Prajumana, and Aniruddha. And how these are the controlling deities of various important forces within material existence. And how by worshipping each of these deities according to the proper understanding of bhakti, or devotional service, one can become released from material entanglement. By worshipping Vasudeva, of course, we are worshipping the Lord within the heart of every living being. By worshipping Shankarshan, who is also manifested as Lord Shiva, we can become free from the false ego. By worshipping Aniruddha, we become free from mental disturbances. And that is done by worship of the moon, which is the presiding deity in which Aniruddha is manifested. And to fix one's intelligence in spiritual consciousness, we may worship Prajumana through worshiping Lord Brahma. So understand, this is not material worship. This is not demigod worship. This is worshiping different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within different manifestations of the Mahatattva, or material existence, for the purpose of purifying our heart and coming to the ultimate stage of pure devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world especially to teach us the most practical, simple way by which we can achieve the ultimate perfection of life. And that is by the chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Because when we chant the holy name of the Lord according to His process, then all of the various yogic disciplines, all of the scriptural instructions of how to eliminate the ego, purify a mind, purify our intelligence, purifying our senses, take place simultaneously. Because the chanting of the holy name of Krishna is the Yuga Dharma. The idea is to fix one's consciousness on Krishna. In this beautiful purport, Prabhupada is explaining how the Vedic literatures teach us various ways of fixing our consciousness upon Krishna. But all purification, which brings us to the Shuddha Sattva platform, must come through this process of fixing our consciousness on Krishna. Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmaret punirikaksham sabhayabhyantarasuchi. Whether we are pure or impure, or even after passing through so many circumstances of life within this material world, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed personality of Godhead becomes pure within and without. And Lord Kapila Dev, he's giving so many instructions on the process of Sankhya Yoga to Devahuti in this particular volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. He goes into great depths where he, in very technical, precise words, elaborately analyzes all the 24 elements of material nature, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the cause and the generating force of material nature, the living entity, the jivatma, how and why it is, or he or she is, immersed in the bondage of material nature. What we find in this particular volume of Srimad Bhagavatam is a science that is so great, deep, and authoritative that no material scientist, however long in many generations they may study, they can never come close to understanding these principles. He is speaking a science which is beyond sense perception, but which is the background of even the subtlest forms of material existence. The scientists can analyze deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper subtler forms of material matter, elements, but they cannot come to the subtlest platforms. They are still very gross in their perceptions. What to speak of the subtle matter of mind intelligence and the false ego? But what is the background? What is the source? They will never have access to that through their sensory perceptions. It is only revealed when the Lord Himself explains. And that is what this volume of Srimad Bhagavatam is doing. But yet, describing all of this, Lord Kapila says to Devahuti, all the injunctions, all the descriptions, all the philosophy and logic of all the Vedic literatures, not just this, they can all be realized through the simple process of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. It is Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy names is the summum bonum, the culmination of all transcendental knowledge. The author of the Vedas, Srila Vyasadeva, he wrote the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. He wrote the 180 Upanishads. He wrote the greatest, most elaborate poem ever written, Mahabharata, the 18 Puranas, the Itihastas. He summarized all this body of literature in the Brahma Sutra. Then he explained the essence of the Brahma Sutra in his commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. The last statement of Vedavyas, of all of his writings, he was not satisfied with all of these great literatures until Narada Muni told him, you must write Srimad Bhagavatam. You have not yet compiled the literature which is free of anything else except pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna, the summum bonum, personality of Godhead, source of all other incarnations. But this is the last word of Srila Vedavyas. And what is the last word of Srimad Bhagavatam? That in this age of Kali Yuga, you can become free from all your sins and achieve the ultimate liberation through the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So where the Bhagavatam leaves off, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to begin his lila. As soon as he appears in this world, what does he do? He comes in the solar eclipse, where everybody all around is loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. He begins his lila before he even appears within this world by inducing everyone to practice what is the very conclusion of all knowledge, the last statement of Bhagavat, which is the congregational chanting of the holy name. And from his very time as a little baby, he was inducing everyone to chant the holy names by his crying. And later on, after he took sannyas and he was living in Jagannath Puri, he taught the world how to remember Krishna by observing this wonderful festival called Rath Yatra. Today we are celebrating Rath Yatra. One day in the entire year here at New Vrindavan, we perform Rath Yatra ceremony. We are also fortunate to happen to be here on this particular day. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, tasting the nectar of the devotion of Sri Radharani. He is appearing in the role of a devotee to teach us how to perfect our lives in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya, for many years, every single year, he would celebrate Rath Yatra with his devotees. This is a very important part of purifying our lives. The Lord is appearing in the role of a devotee to show us how, and this is a prominent way in which he showed us how to be Krishna conscious. By chanting and dancing before the beautiful carts of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath amongst the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, who so mercifully understood the very essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, he took this Rath Yatra to practically every major city in the entire world. Not to speak of the hill, the Appalachian mountain hills of limestone, West Virginia. Who would ever have thought? Just imagine, even the great acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Narottam Das Thakur, and all of their associates, Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis in Vrindavan. They were all worshipping and celebrating the wonderful Rath Yatra in Puri by remembering Lord Chaitanya's Leela. How wonderful it is! Could they even imagine? Perhaps they could, by their transcendental vision, that Srila Prabhupada would be arranging yearly Rath Yatras in such places as limestone, West Virginia, now called New Vrindavan. What to speak of New York and Los Angeles and London and Chicago and so many parts of the world. But today I would like to speak very briefly about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed Rath Yatra with his devotees. Because this is such a sweet and purifying meditation for us as we prepare ourselves for the Rath Yatra, which is going to take place in just about 2 hours. Hare Krishna. I'll try to end class before then. The wonderful service that Srila Prabhupada has performed by giving us this beautiful narration in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita should be worshipped, and we should show our gratitude by attentively hearing. Each year, there is the Snan Yatra ceremony, celebrating the appearance of Lord Jagannath in this world. And Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra are bathed in a very ceremonious way
In Puri, for those of you who may have been there, the deities are taken out of the temple into the courtyard, and there's a beautiful Abhishek Snan Vedi, and people come, and the pujaris perform this wonderful, wonderful bathing ceremony. It lasts for many hours. And then Srila Prabhupada explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a time called Anavasar, in which Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra go into seclusion for 15 days. In that seclusion, the Daitas, or the descendants of the original pujaris of Jagannath from long ago in the Satya Yuga, they take care of Jagannath. How do they do? They give him all sorts of medicines, it is explained, in the form of fruit juices and very simple types of bhoga. And they also repaint him. It's called Navayovanam, restoring the Lord's eternal youth. This is his pastime. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know, every morning it was his regulation. As soon as he would hear the conch shell blowing from his room, the gambira, he would immediately get up and go to see the beautiful darshan of Jagannath. He would stand behind the Garuda Stamba. In the Jagannath temple, the deities are in front on an altar. Then there is a huge kirtan hall called Jagamohan. Thousands of people can fit in that kirtan hall. In the very back of the kirtan hall is the Garuda Stamba. Lord Chaitanya, in his great humility, he would stand way in the back, close to the Garuda Stamba, to see the beauty of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. And with his associates, he would have wonderful kirtan in the temple. He would go again in the evenings. It was intolerable for him to go to Jagannath's temple without seeing Jagannath. Not to speak of even living in Puri. So due to the intensity of his separation, each year he would leave Jagannath Puri and go to a place called Alalanath, which is now about 1 hour drive from Jagannath. There's a big rock in Alalanath where Lord Chaitanya used to sleep on top of that rock. And sometimes in his separation from Jagannath, he would be in so much ecstasy that the rock would melt. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's entire body print is still within that rock, for those of you who like to go to see. A few days before Ratha Yatra, generally the devotees from Bengal, in large group, usually 200-300 people would come, led by Shivananda Sen, to celebrate Ratha Yatra with Lord Chaitanya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would send the message to Lord Chaitanya that it's almost time for Ratha Yatra. The devotees from Bengal are coming to see you. When Lord Chaitanya would hear about this, that the devotees were coming, he would feel great happiness. He would leave Alalanath and come back to Puri. There he would greet his devotees in so many wonderful ways. Sometimes he would go to the Ataranala, the bridge entering into Puri, and he would personally give garlands and sandalwood with his own loving hands to each devotee. He would embrace them. They would have beautiful kirtan. Then they would go to the Narendra Srovar Lake to take their baths. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally arrange residence for each of the devotees, give them all of their accommodations and provide their necessities. He would glorify each one of them with his own mouth. He would arrange prasad for them. And each year with his devotees, he would cleanse the Gundicha temple. He actually ordered the superintendents of the temple that he wanted many brooms and buckets because he wanted to clean the temple with his devotees. That is a beautiful story described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. How Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotees had these little brooms and they were cleaning and sweeping and cleaning and sweeping, collecting every particle of sand, every grain of dust, every piece of straw. They would make piles and then throw it out of the temple. After the entire temple appeared to be immaculately cleaned, Lord Chaitanya told the devotees, "Now we must go back and search for finer particles of sand, dust, and straw." We went back to clean. Lord Chaitanya made one pile with what he collected. All the other devotees made another pile with the combination of what everyone collected. Lord Chaitanya's pile was far bigger than all of theirs. It is explained he was cleaning with such enthusiasm it appeared he had thousands of arms. Just to enthuse the other devotees to clean. And when he saw another devotee cleaning very, very enthusiastically and working very hard, he would say, "Oh, this is very good. You should teach others how to do as you are doing." And he would give them rewards of nice cakes of prasad. And if someone was not working according to their capacity, he would chastise them lovingly. And sometimes he would find them cakes of prasad. So in this way he taught everyone how they should work together to enthuse one another to clean the Lord's temple. When the temple was so completely clean, then Lord Chaitanya gave the indication it was time to wash the temple. Meanwhile, there were 100 devotees standing with buckets ready to pour the water. As soon as they got the signal, they started washing the floors, washing the walls, washing the ceiling, washing the yoga room, washing the kitchen, washing the altar, everything. They were just splashing the water and rubbing the water, shining perfectly clean. Then they would drain out the water and bring more water. There were so many devotees with so many buckets. They were getting water from Indrajumna Sarovar and passing the buckets upward. Sometimes the clay buckets would crash against each other and they would have to go out and buy new buckets. And when there were so many people congested getting buckets from Indrajumna Sarovar, they were going to other kuns and other wells. Wherever there was a source of water anywhere in the area, people were filling up with that water to bring more and more pots of water to the Gundicha Mandir. And everything anyone needed was perfectly accomplished simply by saying Krishna. Nobody said pass the bucket. They would just say Krishna, and everyone knew he meant pass the bucket. Whatever anyone wanted, everyone just said, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Everyone knew exactly what was required. There was a continuous kirtan of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, as he was washing the Gundicha Mandir, one person secretly poured water on his feet and began to drink it. And another person saw that and said, please give me in charity some of that foot wash, and he would distribute. And somebody else would beg alms, please give me in charity. This way, out of loving reciprocation for each other, the devotees were sharing the nectar of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Charanamrit. Well, once Lord Chaitanya was on the altar of Jagannath, where he was to sit, and one Bengali devotee washed his feet in such a way that Lord Chaitanya knew externally exactly what was going on and drank the water. Lord Chaitanya internally was pleased, but externally he was angry. He turned to Swarup Damodar and said, "See what your Bengali Vaishnava has done. This is the temple of the Lord, and he has incriminated me in a great offense by washing my feet in the temple of the Lord." So Swarup Damodar Goswami very gently pushed that Vaishnava out of the temple. And then he came back and begged Lord Chaitanya, "Please be merciful to him. Please forgive him." So what this story explains, Srila Prabhupada describes, is how all the Bengali Vaishnavas are all under the direct or indirect guidance of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. He wanted to establish the principle of parampara, that every devotee is the servant of the servant of the servant of the great acharyas. No one has a direct connection to Krishna themselves. Parampara is the sacred principle in which we approach Krishna in the authorized way. So in this way, they cleaned the Gundicha temple in such a wonderful way until it was sparkling clean. Lord Chaitanya was shining it with the cloth of his own clothes that he was wearing. Then they went to the Narasingha temple, which is just next door, and they cleaned it in the same way. They had a big, big kirtan in the Narasingha temple. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing so beautiful and ecstatically with all of his devotees. At one time, Lord Chaitanya saw Advaitacharya's son, whose name is Gopal, and he said, "Gopal, dance!" Gopal started dancing upon the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in ecstatic love, he fainted right in front of everyone. There was no symptoms of life. The devotees gathered around to see if they could revive him, but they could not. All the devotees gathered and began chanting in his ear, but still he was laying there in a lifeless state. His father, Sri Advaitacharya, came, and he started chanting in the ear of his son, louder and louder. Still, no trace of life. Then Advaitacharya began to cry, thinking that his son was dead. And the other devotees began to cry because he was such a dear associate. That time, Lord Chaitanya stepped up to Gopal and said, "Gopal, stand up." Gopal stood up. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And there was great, great jubilation amongst all the Vaishnavas. After Gundicha temple was a suitable place for Lord Jagannath to come, only then could Ratha Yatra happen, according to Lord Chaitanya's own mood. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains very elaborately how this cleansing of Gundicha temple represents the cleansing of our own hearts. Before Krishna will reveal himself within the throne of the temple of our heart, first the temple of our heart must be immaculately clean. No lust, anger, pride, illusion, envy. All of these anartas is like sand, dust, and straw within our hearts. And we must clean through service to the Vaishnavas, through hearing the glories of the Lord, through chanting the holy names of the Lord. It is like the water that washes our heart. When the heart is perfectly clean, which is through the process of devotional service, then Krishna will manifest himself and we can worship him always with great love from within our hearts. There is a particular day where Jagannath gives his first darshan after the 15 days of seclusion. I believe it's called Netrotsava. And on that day, early morning, Lord Chaitanya and his intimate devotees, they just went right to the temple of Jagannath. They went right into the deity room of Jagannath.
and they stood just in front of him for the first darshan.
Generally, Lord Chaitanya would stand way back at Garuda Stamba. But after 15 days of separation, he was so eager, he forgot all of his regulations in this way, and he stood for hours and hours and hours throughout the entire day right in front of Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra. It is explained, as Lord Chaitanya was seeing Jagannath after 15 days of separation, his eyes would not even blink. He just stared as tears of love were flowing from his beautiful lotus eyes. Who can understand? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes were so beautiful like the lotus petals that they stretched practically all the way to his ears. Here was Jagannath's beautiful lotus eyes and Lord Chaitanya's beautiful lotus eyes being reunited in ecstatic love. The next morning was Ratha Yatra. Early in the morning, Lord Chaitanya came with his devotees for the first ceremony, which is called Pandu Vijay, where the Dayatas carry Lord Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra from the Jagannath Mandir to their respective carts. It is explained the Dayatas would be, the deities in Puri are very big size. We have a resident of Puri here today, Vyaski Prabhu, who knows all these things with profound realizations. They were, so many of them were carrying, some were behind the shoulders of Jagannath, some were carrying under the feet of Jagannath. They also had these big, thick silk ropes to help lift each of the deities. They had a series of big pillows called tulis. And they would just pick up the deity from one pillow and put him on the next pillow. Pick him up, next pillow, next pillow. And the deities were so heavy, sometimes the pillows would tear and this cotton from inside the pillows would come up into the air. It's a very beautiful scene. Meanwhile, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra being carried by the Dayatas with these ropes, he began to chant in great ecstatic love, Manima, Manima, which is the Orissa way of greeting a respectable person. At that time, Maharaj Prataparudra appeared with his associates. We know the story that Maharaj Prataparudra, he heard about Lord Chaitanya from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya while Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India. He asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please, if you say he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are my guru, I accept it. Arrange an interview with him so I can meet him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried in so many ways to arrange an interview, but Lord Chaitanya rejected the idea. Niskinjanasya bhagava bhajanomukasya paramparam jigamasor bhavasagarasya. He said, King Prataparudra is a materialistic person because he is indulged in activities in which he has to associate with materialistic persons. For one in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, to associate with such a materialistic person is worse than drinking poison willingly. If one wants to cross over this ocean of birth and death to associate with materialistic people too much attached to money and sex life, it is worse than drinking poison. If you ever ask me to meet this king again, I will leave Jagannath Puri and you will not see me.
Hare Krishna.
He was very strict in his example.
So
Well, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to save the king's life. When Maharaj Prataparudra heard, Mahaprabhu will not see me because I am a king, therefore I will give up my kingdom. I will be, if it is required, I will become a beggar and wear an ivory earring. And I will beg alms door to door, give away all my wealth. If still he will not allow, then I will give up my life. What is the use of this human existence if I cannot receive the mercy of Mahaprabhu? What is the use of my kingdom if it is impeding giving pleasure to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? When the devotees read this note of Maharaj Prataparudra, they were struck with wonder. They devised so many plans to somehow or other pacify him, somehow or other soften Lord Chaitanya's heart. They stalled for time. One way they did it is by Nityananda Prabhu. He arranged to get a piece of Lord Chaitanya's cloth, and they gave that to Maharaj Prataparudra. He worshipped that piece of Lord Chaitanya's cloth that he wore on an altar and saw it as non-different from the Lord. Another time, Lord Chaitanya had his son come, who was the prince. But that prince had a dark complexion and lotus eyes. When Lord Chaitanya saw him, he thought of Krishna and began to embrace him. As soon as he embraced the child and said, "You are so dear to me because you are reminding me of Krishna," the child immediately became completely inundated by love of God. When the child came home, Maharaj Prataparudra embraced his child and experienced the same ecstasy as if he embraced Lord Chaitanya directly. But still, Lord Chaitanya would not directly see Maharaj Prataparudra. But on this day, at the opening of the Ratha Yatra ceremony, Maharaj Prataparudra appeared with a broom that had a golden handle in the mood of the most menial sweeper of a street. He began to sweep before the cart of Jagannath. Now, does anyone know what is the social status of a street sweeper in India? They are called bangis. In many traditional societies, they're not even allowed to live amongst the regular, ordinary people of the kingdom. Nityadita Maharaj used to go to Pakistan, and he remembers. There were bangi colonies, because the bangis were allowed to go out and sweep the streets in the whole town or village or city. But then they had to live amongst themselves because they were considered so dirty, such a low thing. And one of the duties of the street sweepers was to remove the night soil. Does everyone know what night soil is? You see it every day, whether you know it or not. In those days, they didn't have plumbing systems with pipings going to the sanitation department of the city or anything like that. Generally, they would just pass stool and urine in a little place where it would just gather up, and every day the street sweepers would go and collect it all, whatever was in your little hole, which was that time called, I don't know, we call it a toilet. And they would hold it on, they would carry it out. So they were considered very contaminated people. So Maharaj Prataparudra, who was the royal king of the entire Puri, in fact, his king extended all the way down to Madras and so many other places, a vast kingdom, so much money, so much power, great, great ministers, learned scholars and armies were at his disposal. But he understood that Lord Jagannath is the real king. My position is just the servant of the servant of the servant. Therefore, let me perform this menial servant of sweeping the street for Lord Jagannath. I remember some years ago in Udupi, there's the Madhvacharya's deity of Krishna. And one of the sannyasi acharyas of the Palimar Math, he bought a crown for Krishna that cost 1 crore of rupees. That's about $300,000. Could we get something like that for Radha Vrindavan Chand? But people, actually it was in the newspapers, people were criticizing him. What is this? $300,000 for one crown for Krishna? It's a golden crown with so many diamonds in it. People were saying they could be feeding poor people with that money. They could be hospitalizing sick people. They could be doing so many projects for people in need with that money. Why are they wasting it by giving it to a deity? Hare Krishna. When he came out and he said, who is saying like this? He said, in every country of the world, they have their presidents, kings, prime ministers. He said, here in India at that time, Rajiv Gandhi was the prime minister. He said, how much money do they spend on security for the prime minister every day in this country? Crores of rupees. Did they spend crores a day for the president or prime minister of every country? And what is a country? One little dot in an earth, which is one little dot in a universe, which is one little dot among so many universes, which is just a little tiny portion in a cloud of the spiritual sky. So Krishna is the king of all kings. He is the prime minister, the president, the first man with his first lady, of the whole, all the material and spiritual worlds. And we spend 1 crore for him, we could be spending hundreds and millions of crores every second, and it's not enough. So Maharaj Prataparudra understood this principle. I may be the king, but my position is only to be the king as the menial servant of the servant of the servant of Jagannath. Therefore, let me sweep the street. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Maharaj Prataparudra sweeping the street and sprinkling water scented with sandalwood for the pleasure of the deities and the devotees, his heart, Lord Chaitanya's heart, melted. If you want to melt the heart of the Lord, it's not by becoming the president. It's not by becoming a sannyasi. It's not by becoming a GBC. It's not by becoming the head pujari or the head cook or the head accountant or anything else. Lord Chaitanya was not impressed by anything except when he saw that Maharaj Prataparudra was accepting the position of a menial servant. Trinarapi sunichena. Karorapi sahishnuna. Amani namanadena kirataniya sadahari. This is the only way to please Krishna, ultimately. To be humble like a blade of grass. Tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respects to others and expect nothing in return. If you cannot do that, you can be the biggest of the big, the greatest of the great, but Krishna will not care anything. So, then the procession began. The dayatas and others began to pull the ropes of Jagannath's, Balaram and Subhadra's carts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his devotees into 7 groups. He seven Sankirtan parties, if I can remember, is as follows. The first party, he made Swarup Damodar Goswami the lead singer. In that party, Advaitacharya was the lead dancer. There were so many responding singers. There was two mridangas in each group and eight pairs of karathals. The next group, he made Srivas Thakur the lead singer and Nityananda Prabhu the lead dancer. The third group, Mukunda Dutt was the lead singer, Srila Haridas Thakur was the lead dancer. The fourth group, Govinda Ghosh was the lead singer, Vrakreshwar Pandit was the lead dancer. The group was formed with the residents of Shantipur, of which Achyutananda, the foremost of the sons of Advaitacharya, was the lead dancer. There was a group from Kulinagram, in which Ramananda and Satyaraj Khan were the lead dancers. And then the group from Shikanda, in which Narahari and Raghunandan were the lead dancers. So you can imagine these seven groups, two mridangas each group, there were 14 mridangas all resounding very loudly, tumultuously filling the entire world with the sound vibration. Eight karatals in each group, so many singers, so many dancers. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before Jagannath with folded hands and offer prayers. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. He offered several prayers. The last of his prayers was Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayam Dasa Dasa Anudas. I am not a Brahman, not a Kshatriya, not a Vaishya, not a Shudra. I am not a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi, but my eternal position, the only aspiration of my life is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dance. What beautiful dance. The seven groups were organized in such a way that four of the groups were in front of Jagannath's cart. One group was on each side, respectively. One group was in the rear. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing so beautifully. He began to go from one group to the other. He then performed a great miracle. Only a few very, very fortunate souls could understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself to simultaneously be dancing in each one of the seven groups. Each devotee in each of the groups was thinking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, he stays only with us. He will not leave us. Each one was thinking like this. It was a reenactment of Lord Krishna's beautiful Rasleela, where he was dancing in and between each of the gopis. And each gopi is thinking, Lord Krishna is showing such merciful affection. He only dances with me. He's only looking at me. He will not leave me for anyone else. Maharaj Prataparudra could see how Lord Chaitanya was in seven forms and seven groups in great ecstatic love. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, when they saw how the king was able to witness this, practically no one else knew. They understood, because he swept the street in such a humble, menial mood of service to the Lord and his devotees, the Lord is showing him such intimate mercy. At other times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear in one form, all
all the seven groups would come together and surround him. Hundreds of people singing and dancing, dancing, dancing. Mridanga's playing, Karatal's playing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the ecstasy to please Lord Jagannath, how he danced. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes some of the, just a drop from the ocean of the transcendental manifestations of his love as he was dancing. Sometimes he would jump very high. Sometimes he would spin around. He looked like a firebrand. Other times, when he would dance, he would place his lotus foot on the ground. His body was heavier than the heaviest, heavier than the universe. The entire earth planet would tilt. In other places, it describes when he put his foot on the ground, it would appear that earthquakes were coming about. And at other times, he became so light that devotees could just pick him up, pass him around. At another time, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, tears would just start pouring out of his eyes like waters from the Ganges and the Jamuna, incessantly flowing, shooting out like syringes. Every hair on his body would stand on end, like the flowers of the Shamuli tree. At other times, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, his arms and his legs would become as hard and stiff as dry wood. At other times, his body became as soft as fresh, creamy butter. Sometimes his body would become twice as big and fat, and sometimes it would be half as thin. His body would change in color, sometimes golden, sometimes white, sometimes pink. Sometimes his body, his voice would become so choked up, all he could say was, "Jajagaga, jajagaga, jajagaga, jajagaga." The beautiful dance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most beautiful manifestation of divinity this world has ever seen. Sometimes foam would just pour out of his mouth like nectar from the moon. At that time, one devotee named Shubhananda, who was very expert at relishing spiritual mellows, he caught the foam and drank it. Hare Krishna. These are some of the wonderful manifestations of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies as he was dancing and dancing with his devotees. He would induce all of the devotees to dance and dance. As he was dancing, it is described by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he was in the mood of Sri Radharani when she was meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra is a great place of pilgrimage. When Krishna left Vrindavan, the devotees, Brijabasis, were in great separation for many long years. It is described that they could not sleep, they practically could not even eat. They were crying day and night, constantly in separation from Krishna. Always chanting his holy names, always describing to one another his beautiful pastimes. The only thing that kept them alive was, before he left, he promised them, "I will return."
without that expectation that he will certainly fulfill his promise, they would have died instantly in separation from Krishna. But then they got the invitation that come to Kurukshetra, we are celebrating the solar eclipse. The Yadu dynasty assembled there, the residents of Vrindavan came. But when the residents of Vrindavan saw Krishna, they were simultaneously so happy and so sad. The Brijabasis headed by Sri Radharani and Gopis, they saw Krishna. He was on a great, great field, a very reverential, holy place. There were thousands of elephants and chariots and horses. In Vrindavan, there was only the cows and the peacocks and the parrots. And here, there are 16,108 beautifully decorated queens, ministers, soldiers with all sorts of weapons. In Vrindavan there is only the cow, the gopas and the gopis, the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls. There's the river Jamuna and the forest flowers, the beautiful wish-desiring trees. And here, Krishna is wearing the armor of the king with great crowns. We desire to see a peacock feather in his hair, and we long to see him playing his flute. In this way, it was their great desire to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So in the minds of the residents of Vrindavan, they constructed these three carts, and they were pulling Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra from his dwarka mood of Aishwarya Bhav with great awe and reverence back to Vrindavan, where Krishna is worshipped in Madhurya Bhav with sweetness and spontaneous devotion. This is the basis of Ratha Yatra. Very often during the Ratha Yatra celebrations in various cities, Srila Prabhupada would briefly tell this story of how Ratha Yatra is a historical event being reenacted of bringing Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. So the procession was going on and Lord Chaitanya was dancing, and he and Lord Jagannath were performing so many pastimes together. He was dancing so beautiful that Lord Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, sometimes they would just stop their carts just to watch in amazement. Sometimes when the carts would start to go again, Lord Chaitanya would enact the ecstasies of his heart by moving his arms in dramatic performances. At other times he would go behind the cart, and Jagannath would stop the cart because he didn't want to go further without seeing Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was testing Jagannath to see whether he was actually paying attention. When Lord Chaitanya would come forward again and dance in front of the cart, then the cart would begin to move. Otherwise, there was no one who could move it. Once when he was dancing in his beautiful dance of love, it appeared that hurricane of ecstatic emotions was manifesting in his body. And his different types of ecstasy seemed like opposing soldiers fighting against each other. The devotees, to protect him from the crowds, made three circles around him. Nityananda Prabhu was leading the first circle, and Lord Chaitanya's two servants, Kashishwar and Govinda, were leading the second circle. Maharaj Prataparuja and his associates were the third circle. As Lord Chaitanya was dancing, somehow or other, everyone became distracted and were in different places.
Lord Chaitanya fell to the ground in ecstasy right in front of Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra, in great humility and devotion, lifted up Lord Chaitanya. As soon as he was touched by Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness and he said, "How pitiable is my existence! I have been touched by a materialistic person." And he went away. Maharaj Prataparudra felt very bad. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Actually, the Lord is very pleased with you. You swept the road." However, just to teach others how a sannyasi must be very strict and beyond suspicion, he is chastising you. On another occasion, during these three circles, Lord Chaitanya was dancing and Maharaj Prataparudra was watching this dance. But Srivas Thakur started standing right in front of Maharaj Prataparudra. The secretary of the king, his name was Harichandan. He asked Srivas, "Please move aside so the king can see." But Srivas was so absorbed, he did not recognize that anyone was talking to him. Harichandan very lovingly was trying to push him a little, move him. "The king cannot see the dance of Mahaprabhu." But Srivas did not move. And Harichandan again pushed him. Srivas became angry and slapped him. Harichandan became angry. He was about to speak angry words to Srivas when Maharaj Prataparudra stopped him, said, "You are so fortunate. You have received the touch of Srivas Thakur. I only wish I could be so fortunate like you." The kirtan procession came to a place called Balagandhi. There, everyone is allowed to make offerings to the deities of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. The three carts stop, and the king came with his ministers and queens and servants. They brought hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands of various offerings for Lord Jagannath. Then the different Brahmin families and different people of other castes, they all came. And soon there were thousands and thousands and thousands of offerings in front, in the sides, all around the carts. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, pages and pages and pages of descriptions of what type of bhoga was being offered. At that time, Lord Chaitanya and his dancing associates decided to take some rest because they were dancing and chanting all day long. They went into a beautiful little garden. When Lord Jagannath was on his carts, it was a very sandy road, and he saw the gardens of Puri on both sides of the road as non-different than Vrindavan. In this particular garden, Lord Chaitanya lay down on a raised platform. At that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and others explained to Maharaj Prataparudra what he should do. He put on the robes of a mendicant, not a king, mendicant. And he went in, after taking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, he went into the garden. There he offered his obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He began to massage the lotus feet of the Lord directly with his own hands. He was massaging his legs. On the instruction of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Ramananda Rai, he recited a particular chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam, where the gopis of Vrindavan are offering prayers to Krishna in separation when he left the Ras dance. It is called Gopi Gita. Jayati te tikam janmana pracha. As he was singing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu I am so ecstatic and so grateful to this person.
When he came to that very famous verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tatta Jivanam, describing how the narrations of Krishna's glories and pastimes is so beautiful, it can purify all the worlds. And anyone who broadcasts the glories of Lord Krishna is the most munificent of all persons. When Lord Chaitanya heard this from the lips of Maharaj Prataparudra, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya got up and embraced Maharaj Prataparudra and called out in great ecstasy, "You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent. Go on reciting, go on reciting." As he was reciting from Gopi Gita, Lord Chaitanya was getting up again and again and embracing him and embracing him. At one time he asked, "Who are you that you have come to give me so much nectar? Please tell me, who are you?" Maharaj Prataparudra, in great humility, he answered. He said, "I am the most fallen, sinful person. I am the servant of the servant of your servants. And my only aspiration in life is you give me the blessing to always be the servant of the servant of your servants." In this regard, Srila Prabhupada describes this as the ultimate benediction. Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction from Kuvera. Kolavecha Sridhar was offered any benediction by Lord Chaitanya. They could have asked for heavenly opulence, wealth, mystic powers, liberation, elevation to Vaikuntha. They did not ask for these boons. But what did these great souls ask for? To be the servant of the servant of the Lord's servant. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the ultimate perfection of life. King Prataparudra is given by the mercy of the Lord the fulfillment of all of his innermost heart's desires. After massaging the Lord and serving him and pleasing him by singing these beautiful verses, he asked leave of the Lord, came out and took the dust from the feet of all the Vaishnavas. The devotees were so happy because they saw the king has received the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada says a materialistic person is envious when someone else gets some special attention. Neophyte devotees sometimes, when someone else gets special mercy from Guru or Krishna, they become envious. Why not me? Why him? Why her? I deserve. But a real Vaishnava, and this is actually the barometer of how much we're a Vaishnava, when some other devotee gets special mercy, do we feel joy more than if we got it? That is Vaishnava. To the degree we're thinking, let that person fall down. Let me get the glory. Or maybe not fall down, but at least go below me. That is called Avaishnava, not Vaishnava. All the devotees were jubilant when they saw the special mercy received by King Prataparudra. Then Maharaj Prataparudra sent a beautiful feast in where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he and his devotees, they saw thousands of preparations brought before him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to serve each of his devotees because he was so pleased that they were working so hard, chanting and dancing throughout the entire day. Lord Chaitanya and his associates took prasad. Then they distributed the prasad to all the beggars who were also very much hungry. Lord Chaitanya was telling them, "Haribo!" And they were all eating prasad and chanting Haribo. at the end of this wonderful Prasad festival, it was time for the Ratayatra to continue. So Maharaj Prataparudra arranged for the Dayatas to assemble again. They were pulling. The carts did not move, not even an inch. They pulled and pulled and pulled. It wouldn't move. What to do? Here we go. It's time now. It's procession. I'll finish in 2 minutes if we can start then. I guess we're starting now. So I'll finish in 1 minute. So then they took the big wrestlers of the kingdom and started pulling the carts. But the carts would not move. Then King Prataparudra took big, big elephants, the strongest elephants of the kingdom, and tied them with harnesses to the carts. And they were pulling and pulling, and the elephant keepers were poking the elephants with their goads. And the elephants were screaming, straining and struggling. The carts would not move. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates came out of the garden, and they all smiled. Then Lord Chaitanya released the elephants, sent the wrestlers away, and he personally put the ropes in the hands of his devotees. He went behind the cart with his head. He pushed immediately upon his head, touching the back of the cart. The cart began to shake and rumble and move forward. The devotees were very much surprised because the ropes were in their hands, but they weren't even pulling and the cart was moving. And in this way, the cart came to the Gundicha Mandir, where the deities were brought out into the throne of Gundicha, which represents Vrindavan Dham. The Jagannath temple represents Dwarka Dham. And there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates had a beautiful, wonderful kirtan of love, celebrating Krishna's return to Vrindavan. So this is very auspicious. New Vrindavan has just returned to ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada is very happy. And we are celebrating this wonderful Ratayatra. One of Srila Prabhupada's lifelong dreams. When he was just a little boy with his sister, he would conduct Ratayatra in the streets of Calcutta, of bringing Krishna to Vrindavan, purifying our hearts and bringing Krishna back into our own hearts. That is what is Ratayatra. So let us celebrate this wonderful festival with great attention for Srila Prabhupada and Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra's pleasure. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki, Jai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much.